Fred Film Radio, Tribeca Film Festival, New York City.
This is Fred Film Radio. I'm Samantha Sartori at Tribeca Film Festival 2019. And today we are here with the director of Flesh Out, Michela Quipinti. Good morning, Michela, and thank you for being with us today.
Good morning, and thank you very much.
Flesh Out is a film about a woman in Mauritania trying to get extremely fat before the wedding. How did you come across this story?
Well, it was by pure circumstance. It was like in 2011, I was looking at myself in the mirror and noticing my first lines, and I started making a reflection on decay, you know, on the fact that it was the first visual sign that life was already at a good point, no? And then, but that was already a bit more of a philosophical. Then I went down to earth and I said, but it bothers me also on an aesthetical level. Why is that? I mean, why does it bother me? Who cares? And at that point, I started thinking for the first time in my life so deeply about what we as women do to our bodies to comply to beauty standards. So I started seeing those who put implants here and there, who do tragic diets. And I had a real... for a few months, it got on me a lot how much pressure women have on their bodies all over the world. And I was thinking, how do I tell this story? And by chance, I bumped into this short article on an Italian magazine, and it was talking about women who undergo gavage. And at that moment, I thought immediately, oh, they're crazy. But just like a split second after, I thought, but we do the same thing. Then, in fact, whatever shape we're trying to obtain doesn't really matter. What matters is the process. That is a process of mortification of the body, which is not right.
Yes, in fact, while I was watching Flesh Out, I felt that the difference between the starvation of the top models or even normal women in Western country and the woman trying to get extremely fat in Mauritania is not so great. But one is more accepted than the other. Have you already screened the movie in different countries? So what was the reaction? Have you had a chance to show the movie in Mauritania?
I agree with what you said completely. It's like if we were talking about a two-face mirror, and we are on one side of the mirror and they are on the other side of the mirror. So it's exactly the same. Even if I agree with you, one is maybe seems more violent, but it's also more honest because you're told. And our side is maybe seems less violent but much more subtle because everything talks to you about what you should become, but nobody tells you exactly. So it was a reflection that for me was very interesting. Then we did not show it yet because we showed it only in Berlin till now. Yeah. Only in Berlin in February where we had the world premiere and it had like, I think, 4 screenings. And now tonight, this afternoon, sorry, at 5:30, we will have the North American premiere and it's our second festival. Then when we go back to Italy, we will have the Italian premiere in BFest, which is a festival in Bari. And from there, it's going to be released in cinema but not in a
wide release.
No, exactly, not in wide release.
Not yet.
No, I don't think ever, because it's very complicated in Italy to show already films that are not dubbed or that at least are not in an original language that is a bit more, let's say, ordinary for the viewer. It's in Hassaniya. It's an Arab dialect. So I am going to bring the film in the cinemas that will screen it around Italy. And then we have a few festivals planned already, and I think more will come. Mauritania, I will absolutely want to make the screening there. It's a bit early now because we have to have some premieres also in continents and everything. I'm sure Films Boutique will plan that too, the international, or anyways, the partners of the film. And that's going to be like one of the most emotional screenings for me, of course. But when we were in Berlin, Verida, the protagonist, the girl who plays her best friend, Amal, and Sidi came to the screening. And it was very emotional, too, because it was the first time they were watching the film, except Sidi, he came to Rome and he watched it at home when it was still a rough cut.
I have to say that Flesh Out is probably one of the most disturbing movies I have seen at Tribeca Film Festival this year. I mean, I just watched Come to Daddy, that is an horror movie. In particular, the way you use the sound, the teeth touching the cup, for instance, is really striking. How did you work on it?
I am very happy you asked this question, because sound, for me, is like paramount. We're dealing with an audio-visual product, let's say, thing, and it has to have a meaning. It has to be. So, first of all, I worked with Lavinia Burcheri. She's going to be here tonight. She's the sound engineer of the film. Then, with the post-production people, sound post-production people were amazing. Sound editing, sound everything. They are so good. For me, I like, apart from the normal recording of the scenes, I had a list of sounds I wanted to be really important. That was swallowing, that was
the struggle of drinking,
drinking also, to when you are pouring the milk, the flies, there are flies everywhere. I realized that when I was shooting, so the sound, because it's like these flies, like they go from the cup, the bowl of milk, to the window, to the head, I don't know, and they enter the frame and they exit the frame. I don't know, it has a meaning for me. When I film, I have some symbols I really want to put in, and then I realize the other symbols slowly after I made the film, why I am so obsessed by some things. But the sound was so important to give you this sense of what is happening to her, to be with her. Absolutely. It was a double thing. It was, first of all, choosing with an amazing friend, the DOP, we became good friends, Daria D'Antonio, to film Verida always at her level. The rest, no, it would change, but her at her level, because we wanted to create a deep connection with the character. Audience, to the character. And so that on a side, on a visual side, and the sound on a... Not exactly. No. It would, together, I think, draws you there.
A movie of this kind is a learning process for the viewers, but also for the filmmaker. Is there anything unexpected you learned during the making of this movie?
I did. You know what? What I learned during the filming of this movie is that I am much less free than what I thought I was. I wanted to make this film also to start reflecting on the gap there is between the freedom we perceive we have and our actual freedom. And I understood that in general, not only me, but we from this part of the world, more or less, we always feel like we are more free than we actually are.
Yes, in particular for women.
Totally. No. I'm talking about women, especially also men, but women, because as far as body, we are the ones who have like standards. Men can...
In addition, women ask children, it's way more complicated. Is this practice common also among wealthy people?
No, let's say that I am telling you the things that I learned, because I'm not an ethnologist, I'm not an anthropologist, I didn't make a study, I just did research for my film. But what I can tell, and also it's a complicated country where the capital exists since only 60 years, so there's not a demographic. But what I can tell you is, from the research I've done, for all the talkings I did with so many women and girls, that is that around maybe 20% of girls still do it in the city, and maybe in the desert villages, etc., maybe 35-40%, more or less. And that it's a practice that was born to show that you're wealthy, no? Because if you're wealthy, you don't have to work, so you can just sit. And if you sit, you get fat. And I think that I met some girls that were from very wealthy families, and they were thin. But somebody in their family, the mother, the grandmother, were still very full. So I think that it is like when, you know, I did a lot. I have avoided, we did film it, but then I cut it in the editing, to let the mother say what would they think about us if we're not able to feed our daughter well. But there are a lot of little gestures she does when she puts, like when she's receiving the family of the broom, and that Verida cannot even participate in it, that she puts the little mat on the table that has a crystal that is broken to hide it, or they open up all the new tea things, no, to make to show that they are rich, and they take out all the that their living room is also their bedroom, and they put it again all as a living room. It's things that also we do. We tend to seem better than what we are when we are receiving people. Okay, it's got to do with that, to be polite and accept, but it's also got to do for the fact that we do not accept to be seen as less. We want to see as more. So yes, it has to do. If you feel insecure, you want to show that you're better. When you feel at ease with yourself, you don't want to show
you don't
anything.
Have any need.
No, that's another subject that has to do with freedom, not with female freedom, but human freedom, that we are too much, and the film has a lot to do with the gaze of the others on us, no, in many ways. So that their freedom, why should we depend on what others think about our way of living or anything that concerns
without
us?
Without following our own feelings,
exactly.
The way that we want to live. Do you think the situation is changing? What does the law have to say in Mauritania? This behavior seems to me to violate human rights. Some of these girls die. Has anybody ever sued the family?
I don't know if they sued the family, frankly, but I don't think girls die now. There is a scene in the film where the grandmother tells that in there that Verida is lucky because at her time, so we're talking about the 6 years before, they did the force feeding practice gavage in one night, and they had to eat a whole baby goat and 16 liters of milk. That led some women to die, some young girls to die, because it explodes your intestines. But now what I heard when I was researching is that there are consequences, health, serious health consequences about this, because a lot of women have heart problems because of the weight. Also those who take the pills, the cortisone-based pills to that are destined to fatten up livestock, and they take it to fatten up quicker. So there is a conscience. The Ministry of Health, I know, had done a few years ago an advert saying that putting on many kilos is not good for your health, that you should. And at a certain point, there's also a TV report that was done a few years ago that there is a stadium in Nouakchott, the capital of Mauritania, where women go and walk around just to keep... but I didn't, frankly, I didn't see gyms around the city where women go and exercise. It's not in their culture. So yes, it violates human rights for me when it touches girls, young girls that are not yet major of age, no, that are not 18.
Free to decide.
Exactly. Then after that, we didn't want, it was very clear for me and the script, my co-scriptwriter, we did not want to touch the children, because it would talk about violated child rights, and it was not the theme of the film. We just show two little, one girl and one, two young girls in the gavures when there's the scene in the desert, but it's like a few minutes, and then we get out of it. But then I think after you're 18 and you could, in fact, even if you don't react to your family normally, because it's a question of tradition, of culture, I think that then it becomes more a question, a personal question. You can react if you want to, because nobody is obliging you. But it's a violent request from a parent. Yes,
absolutely, absolutely. Thank you to Michela Kipintip for being with us today. Good luck for the movie and the North American premiere tonight at Tribeca Film Festival 2019. I'm Samantha Sartori from Tribeca Film Festival New York, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.